back to the Starting Lineup podcast. It is a Monday, and I'm here. I'm not sick. Well, still congested, but not sick.
Sick in the mind, not sick in the immune system.
That's a whole different story. This is your host, Shep Jones. Across the table, Mitch George. We are back. NFL Week 3, an enticing week.
It was a fun week. I think it's the best week we've had so far.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And only being Week 3, you usually see teams kind of come slow out of the gate for maybe the first four. But having a pretty solid across the board, even the Thursday night game,
we had two Toilet Bowl games this week, and I thought that they were both fairly entertaining because you had the Colts beating the Browns by
a field goal.
Just a field goal yesterday, and then that Thursday night game between the Rams and the Niners was really close.
It was an odd series of events.
It was.
You onside kick, recover, four and out.
Yeah.
It's not how you want to ideally have that go. We'll do a little bit of baseball talk, but I'm going to start with some NBA. Some minor things. Dwayne Wade is returning $8 million of his salary for this year in order to be bought out from the Bulls. So he's a free agent. Mm-hmm. Carmelo Anthony is now with Paul George and Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City.
I hope that helps at the Warriors.
Talks of Wade joining that team as well.
I don't know if there's anywhere that Dwayne Wade doesn't go to the Cavs.
It's either in my mind, it's either the Cavs or he goes to Oklahoma City.
Because him and LeBron are like best friends,
right? But do the Cavs have room?
He'll take a pay cut.
I'm sure he'll probably take a pay cut just to be with his best bud.
Yeah,
I think the haul for the Knicks was decent. You get Enes Kanter, Doug McDermott, and a second round 2018 pick.
Yeah,
I think they were probably pushing for that to be a first round 2018. But with the way Carmelo's performed over the last 2 years, has not been worthy of a first round. And getting a pretty good haul out of the two players you got is not bad.
Have you ever noticed how Dwayne Wade spells his first name? It's not traditional. It's D-W-Y.
Yeah.
A-N-E.
Yeah.
Dwayne
Wade.
Dwayne Wade.
That's it for basketball. Easy. Wow. Done. Out of the way.
I think that's the first time this school year we've actually talked about basketball.
Except for last week. That was a little different. Yeah, that was the social media with NBA taking. But that's a little different, not talking players or teams or anything.
Well, so we'll pick this up when the finals start in May or whenever that is.
Right.
Right. All right.
Absolutely.
That was it for 2017 NBA talk.
Mm-hmm. Let's do football. Let's switch it up. Let's do football first.
Yeah. I was thinking that.
Let's do football first. So we had, was it two overtime games this week?
Was it two?
It was two, because Bengals-Packers went OT and won a field goal. Bears and Steelers went overtime, and Bears won with a touchdown.
How about the Jags?
I woke up early for that because I'm like, Jacksonville's about to get stomped. But here's the thing. Jacksonville is undefeated when they travel to England.
Just maybe they should relocate.
Exactly. Well, their owner also owns the Fulham soccer team out there.
Premier League team.
Yeah. So he has pulls out there. If Jacksonville ever thinks about getting up and moving, there's your European team.
Did Joe Flacco get hurt?
He got benched.
Why? Because he's terrible?
He had like 90-something yards and two interceptions.
Because the top passer for Baltimore is listed as Ryan Mallett, who passed for 36 yards and a touchdown.
Correct. That would be you are not wrong in saying that Ryan Mallett was the best quarterback for.
And even then, Blake Bortles didn't even get over 300 yards in that game. They put up 44 points, but he had four touchdowns, but he only had 244 passing yards. But if you looked at the stat line for both of these teams, it's very modest. I mean, Bortles, like I just said, 244 for four. And then C. Grant, I don't even know who that is.
I believe that it's either Corey or Cary Grant.
Okay.
It is Corey Grant.
Okay, so he had 75 yards on the ground with no touchdowns. And then top receiver is M. Lee, so I'm just going to go ahead and say that's Mike Lee.
That is Marquise Lee from USC.
It's Mike Lee. It's Mike Lee for 65 yards and zero touchdowns. So, I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting that they didn't rack up too many stats. They just racked up points.
Well, I mean, Mercedes Lewis, four catches, 62 yards, and three touchdowns.
That's true.
That's a true red zone target.
It's true.
And he has been, since he really entered the league, he's always open to the red zone and gets you the touchdowns. However, defensively for Jacksonville, that looked like a whole different team than the first 2 weeks. Really got the didn't put a ton of pressure, only registering two sacks on a combination of Flacco and Mallett, but you had, let's see, five tackles for loss. You had two interceptions. I think defensively it carried the team and put Blake Bortles and Leonard Fournette in a position to score quickly and not rack up a ton of yards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
Usually I'll ignore the London games just because it's 8:30 in the morning and I usually work until 2 a.m. at night right before.
I didn't even go to the KU football game because it was at 11 in the morning on a Saturday.
Oh, lucky you. I had to go. Yeah.
You had to go.
I had to go because I was working. 7:45 in the morning was a call time.
That's fun.
Not really. The Philadelphia Eagles won on a 61-yard field goal from rookie Jake Elliott, I believe his name is. That's a good way to make a name for yourself.
That's true. They were carrying him off on their shoulders after the game. That was kind of funny to see. Sterling Shepard had a really good game for the Giants.
And yet again, Brandon Marshall does next to nothing.
Which is not good.
The talk was, oh, we're going to bring in Brandon Marshall, and he's going to take the load off of Odell Beckham Jr. But, I mean, eight catches for 66 isn't terrible. But when you have Eli Manning as your quarterback, who of late hasn't looked great, but that's also because their run game is next to nothing, which over the past several years they've actually had something decent to kind of, let's run the ball, let's balance this offense out.
Right.
But they totaled 49 yards on the ground yesterday. Nice. Not great.
Nope. Well, let's see. What else was interesting? We had a division matchup against it featured the Saints and the Panthers, with the Saints handily taking that one away.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Stafford. Poor Matt Stafford.
God, he can't. That man can't catch a break.
So I'm assuming everyone has seen it, but I forget the receiver. Do you remember the receiver?
Yeah, I believe it was Golden Tate.
Yeah, it was Golden Tate. I remember now. So completed pass as time expires. Looked like he lunged into the end zone, but he was in fact down at the 1 yard line. And because they took a look at it, or for some other reason, because they took a look at it, there was a 10-second runoff, which ended the game.
Yep. So that's a rough way to lose a game.
So they ended up losing by four. Then Case Keenum looked like a real quarterback this week as the Vikings defeated the Buccaneers.
Jacoby Brissett looked like a real quarterback.
Yeah, he did.
Granted, it's the Browns, but he looked pretty good.
The Browns are not terrible anymore.
No, they're not bad. I'd almost have to say the worst team in the league is probably the Bears, and they won.
Yeah, you could argue the Bengals a little bit,
too. You could also argue the 49ers.
And the 49ers. But, I mean, the NFL's weird this year. You don't really know who anyone is yet.
Right. Everything's
the Chargers could very well be the worst team, too. We don't even know.
Aaron Judge has hit another home run. Oh, okay. He's at 40-something now?
49. 48, 49, one of those two.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, so we can't even get through NFL talk first without throwing in any baseball stuff. And the Patriots almost got upset by the Texans. That would have been the shocker.
Did you hear the interesting stat out of that game yesterday?
What was it?
No rookie quarterback has ever beaten Bill Belichick.
Right.
Oh, and rookie quarterbacks are 0-9.
In Foxborough. Because Geno Smith beat him back when Geno Smith was amazing.
Something viable.
Just kidding. Right. Yeah. Was. But perhaps even my favorite game was the fact that the Titans beat the Seahawks.
That was entertaining.
I'm not a very big fan of the Seahawks. And then, of course, and did you hear the stat that Aaron Rodgers has never won or had never won an overtime game in his career until yesterday?
Yeah, because he throws Hail Marys as time is expiring, so he wins.
Just make sure that it doesn't get to overtime right. In the first place.
Deshaun Watson looks like an NFL quarterback. Legit.
I mean, he threw one interception that was off of his. I'm talking about one specific interception. Yeah. One specific interception. Where he threw off of his back foot and went right into the chest of a cornerback or safety. I forget who it was specifically, but that was just a rookie throw. It looked like he was trying to make a college play, and it's not college anymore.
Right. I like the Texans as a team. The only downside is their receiving core, because after you go through DeAndre Hopkins, there's nothing really there.
Right.
I mean, the people were hoping that Will Fuller, who was the Notre Dame pick out of last year, would do something. He didn't even get a target yesterday. But Bruce Ellington, ageless wonder wide receiver, 4 catches for 59 yards and a touchdown.
Not terrible. The Raiders are awful, by the way.
Oh, that was a tough game.
Yeah.
Because I went into that Sunday night game thinking, this is actually going to be a shootout. It's going to be entertaining. Who's the better quarterback, Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr? Who has a better offense? Who has a better defense? It was all Redskins yesterday.
Yeah, the Redskins look really good. I just have one bone to pick with Samaje Perine.
Perine.
Because of his name. Can we just make it Perine instead? Because...
Talk to his mama.
I'll try to get a number or something, but Samaje Perine would sound so much better than Samaje Perine. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with me?
I agree with you, but...
If you had a guy named Samaje Perine and a guy named Samaje Perine, and you had to be best friends with one of them, which one would you pick? Perine.
Yeah, probably
Perine. You pick Samaje Perine. So, we can get off that topic. Yeah, whatever.
I want to look at defensive stats yesterday from the Washington Redskins. 53 total tackles, 4 sacks, 8.5 tackles for losses, 2 interceptions.
Yeah.
Whatever Jim Tomsula is doing there, who was one of the strangest head coaches I've ever come across when he was with the Niners the last two years, he's doing something pretty impressive with that Redskin defense.
He really is. They looked real good last night.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Chris Thompson, the running back, he recorded 150 yards receiving.
Yeah.
Which was really impressive.
About 190 total yesterday. Josh Dotson.
That was a nice catch.
That was a really nice catch.
That was a Randy Moss catch.
Yes. But it's his only catch.
But who cares? It's
right.
A touchdown.
Yeah, it's a touchdown. It counts. Terrell Pryor has been a bit of a bust.
Yes.
At least for the first 3 weeks.
I mean, you can't really expect too much from quarterbacks transitioning to wide receivers in general.
But he was pretty good in Cleveland.
Good enough.
And that's saying enough.
Yeah.
To warrant that, you know, he's actually a pretty good wide receiver. But, I mean, you replaced Deshaun Watson with Terrell Pryor. Or not Deshaun Jackson. I'm still going to take Deshaun Jackson.
Kaiser.
No.
Are you talking about Deshaun Kaiser?
No. Wide receiver.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Deshaun Jackson was with the Redskins You've essentially said Terrell Pryor take his spot. That's a whole different game because Deshaun Jackson is a speed receiver. I got it from what I've seen out of the last year and a half out of Terrell Pryor. He's a bigger guy. He's not terribly fast, but he can go up and get a ball. And in a fantasy note, I left Chris Thompson on my bench last night.
I didn't even know who he was.
That hurts. I was kind of looking at him like, we'll see. But then 20 points later, sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
My life.
All right. So let's make a prediction for tonight. We have the Cowboys and the Cardinals tonight. The Cardinals are 31st in rushing.
Uh-huh.
But they are 4th in passing. And Dallas falls just about middle of the road in just about every stat with passing and then overall offense and overall defense. But they are 24th in rushing, so we have two pretty terrible rushing teams, which is kind of surprising this point in the season, considering the fact that Dallas still has that unstoppable offensive line and Ezekiel mm-hmm. Elliott.
Well, my big thing is you're talking about an Arizona Cardinal run game without David Johnson.
Right.
That was that big piece of the puzzle last year that actually turned him into a relatively competitive team out in the NFC West. I got to take Dallas, though.
I'll probably take Dallas too.
The Arizona defense is good. It's not Denver good that shut down Zeke Elliott the week before. But Elliott's going to get the ball moving here pretty soon.
He'll go for 100 tonight, I'm pretty sure. I mean, the Cardinals are just old.
Carson Palmer, Chris Johnson is now their lead back. Larry Fitzgerald. They're just kind of turning into an older team to the point where they could start their rebuild process pretty soon.
They're going to be drafting quarterback here pretty soon?
I got to think so.
Or do they already have
one? I don't know who their
depth
chart looks like.
But let's see.
Blaine Gabbert is their backup quarterback. Blaine Gabbert and Drew Stanton. So I'm taking a quarterback.
Yep, they're drafting quarterback.
Yeah. And there's plenty coming out of this next year's draft. Ideally speaking, you've got Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, and any other quarterback out there who is performing well, at least for the first 3 weeks of the season.
Right.
I just think Cowboys are going to not only run away with it, they're just going to take over.
Not leave any doubt.
No, I mean, they'll use the passing game with Dez, with Cole Beasley, with Terrence Williams, with Jason Witten, and even using Ezekiel out of the backfield as well.
Yeah. And then I think the biggest loser from this week was Darren Sproles. And
yes.
I know you know what happened, but poor little Darren Sproles, poor little 5'6" Darren Sproles, tore his ACL.
Mm-hmm.
He tore his ACL, but he didn't just tear his ACL. He also broke his arm. People are saying, oh, why would you put a guy with a torn ACL back in the game to go break his arm? They didn't. It was on the same play. He tore his ACL and broke his arm on the same exact play.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how many times that's happened, like two significant injuries that would require a significant amount of missed time happening on the same play to
right.
the same person.
Mm-hmm. One other little thing. Well, not necessarily little thing. I think this week, even it all started Thursday after we got done with the podcast with Trump rescinding the offer from Steph Curry to visit the White House. And then said, I'm not going anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think he rescinded it afterward.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then... And then the Warriors announced that we're just going to make a trip to D.C. and not do the White House, which I'm like, fine, cool. I like it. And then goes on to start bagging on the NFL, where owners should be getting that B off the field. And then you had teams not even go out for the national anthem.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of that.
Well, think about it. Before... The Department of Defense paid the NFL millions of dollars to have their players be out in the field. Players weren't out there anyway. We forget that. We went years without seeing players out there for the national anthem. So I was like, it's back to the old days.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a pretty much a solidarity, and the owners were with their players and whatnot.
Right. I guess I haven't collected my own thoughts enough to have a solid opinion on it.
Mm-hmm. But it's. Starting to see a change in a bit of a culture, I think, where teams are now actually starting to band together and not just, you know, have individuals kneeling or sitting or with a fist up in the air. You're kind of starting to see that.
Right.
Let's do baseball.
Baseball.
For the last
heck
11
of a transition
minutes.
There,
yeah, I know. I got my brain goes everywhere and I got to get it all out there.
Yep.
As I mentioned, Aaron Judge has hit his 49th home run, and that ties the rookie record with who?
Mark McGwire.
Absolutely. The Yankees are currently playing the Kansas City Royals in New York, and they're leading 3-0. Is this the end for the Kansas City Royals?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're not talking about the year. You're talking about this
yes.
stint.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see... Eric Hosmer leave. They might...
Lorenzo Cain.
Yep.
Mike Moustakas.
I could see Cain staying on like a lower level kind of deal, but I mean, he might leave too.
Dude's going to get paid somewhere.
He's going to get paid, and I think if Hosmer leaves and Moustakas will probably leave
too. It's going to look like a completely different team going into spring training next year.
It will, because you're going to have Whit Merrifield as the face of the franchise pretty much.
Which isn't bad. Whit's a pretty good – he's an underrated player.
And Salvi too, because they locked up Salvi long term. Mm-hmm. So their core is going to be – I'm assuming Elcides Escobar is still going to be there.
I believe so.
So it's going to be Salvi, Elcides Escobar, and Moustakas from that World Series team. Mm-hmm. And otherwise you're probably going to – and I guess Alex Gordon, the husk of Alex Gordon in left field, whatever's left. Of him. So, and then I think in right field you're going to have Jorge Bonifacio probably, and then you're mixing in Chesler Cuthbert and Whit Merrifield. I'm going to be interested to see who they stick at first base, because I don't know who else plays first base.
Elcides Escobar is a free agent.
He's a free agent, so they might very well lose him too, but he's old dude though.
Yeah.
So he might just sign like a 2-year deal with a club option or something for $10 million or something like that to stick around in Kansas City, unless there's someone else that needs a toothpick hitter that can use his glove every once in a while.
So. Right. Whit Merrifield is not a free agent. Well, he goes through arbitration starting after.
Was he a rookie last year or this year?
Last year. But he starts pre-arbitration.
They still have about 4 more years of club control on him, I bet.
3 or 4. 5. 4 or 5. With arbitration years and everything.
Okay. It's after the 6th year is when he can start looking outside.
So. Correct.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting to see what the Royals do in the future.
Don't forget about Jorge Soler.
Yeah, that's funny.
Who Jason Vargas is a free agent. There's going to be a lot of people walking, I think, because I think Vargas could get a pretty decent contract. He's had a good year.
He's had a good year.
Whether the Royals want to fork out that money.
Probably not. I think they should have sold at the deadline. Could you imagine what you would have gotten for Eric Hosmer at the trade deadline?
I know. That's a huge haul you could have gotten, and then you've already started to reset for your – if you would have moved Hosmer, Kane, and Moustakas all at the same time, you've already set yourself up to have a pretty good prospect system in just trading 3 players.
Right. Yeah, Kane would have got a big haul too, I think.
Yeah, I think Kane would have gotten a pretty big haul. The only, like, out of the 3, I think the smallest haul would have been Moose.
Probably.
Because there's not a demand right now
for the huge power
hit. For a left-handed power third baseman.
Yeah.
But I think he could get a pretty good deal somewhere else.
MLB also broke the all-time home run record as far as league goes. I don't know if we talked about that last week or even if that happened last week.
We didn't.
Yeah, so what's your opinion on that? Is it a good thing, bad thing? Should be celebrated or not celebrated?
I don't mind them breaking it, players across the league. But there's always kind of been talk throughout this entire season of the baseballs are different.
Mm-hmm. And pitchers say it too.
And whether it's the seams are different or whether it's just
smaller
or pitchers just aren't pitching out of hot zones for it could be a multitude of things. I don't like it. I just kind of like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Because I think there's a stat this year that I think more players have 20 or more home runs than players that are qualified for the batting title.
Dang.
Think about that. So there are guys with more than 20 home runs who are not qualified for the batting title. So I'm assuming that Matt Olson would be in that category if he even has 20.
Mm-hmm.
And guys like Rhys Hoskins, too, cranking up the home runs. And he's been here for less than a half, and he's approaching 20 if he's not already at 20. So that's remarkable in its own right. Just that we're seeing all these young guys coming up and swinging for the fences.
Right. So quick look at wild card. We've got about 5 minutes left here in the
looks
show.
Looks like we have our, at least in the American League, we have our wild card and our entire playoff race set.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't look like we're going to have any shifts as far as home field advantage goes.
Mm-mm.
Looks like the Indians are going to lock down home field advantage.
Houston could take it.
I don't think so. I don't think they will. It's still three games with about, what do we have,
about a week's worth of games.
Yeah, so, I mean, Cleveland would have to go 500, and I don't think they're in any position to
go
500
they've gone 8-2 in the last 10, so.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's a possibility. I'm not expecting it to happen, but.
It's possible, so we can start setting our, not necessarily setting them in stone, but looking ahead to our probable matchups in the playoffs here. It's just amazing how hot these division leaders are.
Right.
Still, because Boston's 9-1 in the last 10, Cleveland's 8-2, and then Houston's 8-2 as well.
And then even the Yankees 7-3. That's nothing to kind of scoff at, being 7-3 in the last 10. That's still, you're winning 70% of your games. Do you think, being from Minnesota and pulling for the Minnesota Twins, do you think Minnesota can beat the Yankees in a wild card game?
I think we can beat them.
Or will they? Yeah, can was the wrong word there. Yeah. Will they beat the New York Yankees?
You gave me a scapegoat. But, you know, I'd really love to say yes, but just the fact that the Minnesota Twins got swept at Yankee Stadium just about a week or 2 weeks ago. I think it was a week ago.
That game would be at Yankee.
It would be. And the Twins would send out Irvin Santana, and the Yankees would most likely send out Luis Severino for that game.
Who's had a really good year.
He's had a good year, but I'm pretty sure the Twins put up two or three runs on him in the first three innings. And then he didn't let up any more. But I mean,
right.
If you can work with a three-run lead, you can, or not a three-run lead, but three runs. I mean, the Twins pitching staff has been surprising this year. When you put Irvin on the mound, he lets up.
You know what I would like to see less instead of being Irvin Santana? Big Sexy. I want to see Big Sexy. Bartolo Colon.
The Yankees pummeled him to a pulp when he pitched there.
I know. But it probably is going to be the game last game.
The game that Bartolo started, I'm pretty sure the Twins lost 11-3. So we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
He's got one more year. Bartolo's coming back next year because he promised his mom that he would pitch until 45.
Okay.
So he's got one more year. And someone's going to, if he pitches like he has been with the Twins, he'll get a contract.
Yeah. On the National League side of things, everything's pretty much locked up. For the American League.
Watch out for the Brewers.
Wild card is still really close. Brewers are two back, and they just lost 3 out of 4 against the Cubs. And St. Louis is 2.5 back, and I think they lost 2 out of 3 against Pittsburgh. So both the Brewers and the Cardinals are 5-5 in their last 10. Both within striking distance of Colorado. Colorado's upcoming schedule would be three against Miami. And then from there, you have a day off for Colorado. And then you finish up against the LA Dodgers. That's a tough final three.
It'd be a collapse on part of the Rockies, but yes. it's not an impossible collapse.
No.
Because, I mean, Colorado, their pitchers could collapse. I mean, not really anybody's pitchers could collapse, but especially, how many of those were home games? Because I know
the Dodgers series is home, and then, so they finish up their rest of the season at home.
Yeah, and I would be wary of those Dodgers hitters, the home run squad that they have there getting the Coors Field and ruining your playoff chances. I don't know. I personally think it'd be cool to see a National League West wild card game. I think that'd be really cool with two teams that have a lot of history and specifically recent history. But I also think it'd be kind of cool to see Milwaukee sneak in there just for the fact that they weren't supposed to do anything at the beginning of the season, and it just kind of fits the narrative if you look to the American League as well, because the Twins weren't supposed to do well this year at all, but they've essentially locked down that second playoff spot, and then right across the Mississippi River you have Milwaukee that's vying for a wild card spot too.
So the last 7 days here, the Cubs are at St. Louis, and then they finish up with Cincinnati. the Brewers are home versus Cincinnati and then finish up at St. Louis. And so you have essentially the three teams that are still not locked in all playing each other within the next week. Here's this is how my mind is working it, and then we'll finish up here. If the Cubs take two out of three against the Cardinals, and if the Brewers take two out of three against the Reds, and the Rockies lose two out of three against Miami and then go to play LA, the final three games of the season mean everything. Mm-hmm. Because you've got Milwaukee and St. Louis playing each other, and then you've got just sitting and waiting to see what Colorado does. It could get real, real interesting.
All right, let's end this with a baseball joke. Why was Cinderella kicked off the baseball team? She ran away from the ball. All righty.
That'll do it. We will be here Thursday at 2:15?
Yes. Something like that.
We'll do a little bit of week 4 and more baseball as we get closer to the end of the year.
See you later.